number 236.
Accept report on workforce development by Work Systems, Inc.
Colleagues, I'm excited today to bring this report forward. We often talk about the housing crisis that Welcome.
Thank you.
Should we go ahead and start? Okay. Bobby Lee with Prosper Portland, Director of Economic Development. Thank you, Mayor and
Thank
Council
you.
Members. What I'll try to do, I'm going to keep my comments short because we have folks testifying today, and you're going to hear some really interesting stories and heartfelt stories. So I'll try to keep my comments short. The workforce development system is federally driven. It's a requirement by federal law to have a workforce development agencies in every city and every county in the United States. So whether in Salem or Eugene or in Portland, they all have something like work systems. They may be called something different, but each city and county, they all have a workforce development agency identified by federal government and the state government and through all of you, the local government. And the designation is under what is called the Workforce Investment Opportunity Act. It's a federal act. And it's through this designation that allows federal dollars to flow into local, in the local region. And this, with the federal dollars, then we have local dollars that we will also supplement. But the lion's share of the funding for workforce development is actually from the federal government. So why did the federal government create this law? In part, is due to the need to align all the workforce development resources to one entity so that we have better coordination, we can leverage all the funds, lower the overhead, and ensure there's one unified plan to meet the needs of employers and employees. This centralized approach also allows other support services, such as through what is called the Worksource Center, to have also social services, employment-related services, workforce training, and economic development entities all working under one umbrella to provide a wraparound services to our customers. Lastly, the federal law also requires that the oversight board, which the mayor serves on, or his designee, is required by federal law that the oversight board is private sector, and the majority of the members serving on that board is from the private sector, so that the public workforce development system is meeting the needs of our regional employers. So with that, that's a broad stroke. It can be confusing, this whole structure, because it's federally created. But it is a requirement, and as a result of that requirement, we are receiving the $4 million from the federal government. And with that in mind, I'll turn it over to Patrick or Andrew.
I guess I'll go next. Thank you, Bobby. My name is Andrew McGough. I'm the Executive Director of Work Systems. Thank you, Commissioners, for having us this afternoon. Much appreciated. I also want to say thank you for the partnership over many, many years. So we're here today to provide an update on the Economic Opportunity Program, which is a growing and successful collaboration between the City, Prosper Portland, Work Systems, the Housing Bureau, A Home for Everyone, Home Forward, the Oregon Department of Human Services, the Oregon Department of Education and Early Child Care Division, and a broad array of community-based organizations, all dedicated to working together to serve some of the city's most vulnerable residents. While others will tell the current story in a little while, my primary job today is to provide some historical perspective. That said, I do want to say that over the years, the Economic Opportunity Program has evolved to embody what I think is a great example of collective impact in action. It's tough to argue with the idea of bringing multiple resources, programs, and organizations together to address complex issues and realize greater impact, but actually making it happen is much easier to theorize than to practice. Collaboration is time-consuming, complex, and often messy work. But as evidenced by the Economic Opportunity Program, the benefits far outweigh the pain. The city and work systems first started talking about collaborating to better serve some of our most vulnerable residents back in 2007 when the Economic Opportunity Initiative was being run out of the Bureau of Housing and Community Development. Kimberly Snyder was a senior policy director for Mayor Adams, and Steve Jobs introduced the first iPhone. In addition to Kimberly and Mayor Adams, at the risk of missing a name or two, the history of the Economic Opportunity Program involves a virtual smorgasbord of city government and community leaders. Commissioner Fish, Will White, Andy Miller, Steve Rudman, Ed Blackburn, Sam Chase, Lynn Knox, Kate Allen, Michael Alexander, Connie Ashbrook, Nicole Maher, Warren Jimenez, among many, many others, all played an integral role in the development and evolution of the Economic Opportunity Program. With the coaching of the mayor's office, iPhones in hand, BHCD work systems began working closely together to look for ways to align our respective efforts and outcomes. When BHCD became the Housing Bureau in 2009, the Economic Opportunity Initiative was transitioned to the Portland Development Commission. We continued to work to build the partnership, and in July 2011, the first joint Economic Opportunity Work Systems contracts were issued. Since then, the program has grown, the partnerships have expanded, the impact has widened, and Kimberly Snyder has become Kimberly Branham. Thanks again for your partnership and support, and I look forward to continuing to work together to grow the program and expand its impact.
Hi, I'm Patrick Gearing, Chief Program Officer at Work Systems. Thank you for hearing us this afternoon. The Economic Opportunity Program provides career track training and employment services to reduce poverty and increase prosperity and housing stability. City of Portland funding for EOP is about $2.7 million, which pays for career coaching provided by a network of 12 community-based partners who serve about 1,900 Portlanders every year through this program. These partners bring strong connections and expertise in serving the program's target populations, including homeless, people at risk of homelessness, ex-offenders, immigrants, residents of neighborhood prosperity initiatives, and communities of color. Work Systems situates these partners within a system of resources and services that augment funding for career coaching, multiply the impact of the city's investment, and improve services and outcomes. Building on the city's investment, we incorporate an array of additional funding and services from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, U.S. Department of Agriculture, U.S. Department of Labor, the State of Oregon, Joint Office of Homeless Services, and other sources to add over $7 million into the program every year. This includes about $3.5 million to fund more career coaches to serve even more Portlanders, about $2 million to provide occupational training for participants focusing on target sectors of healthcare, construction, advanced manufacturing, high-tech, truck driving, and financial industry. About $900,000 in on-the-job training and internships for people who lack work experience or recent work experience, and about $800,000 for rent assistance so that people who are homeless or facing eviction can participate in occupational training and start a job with the result that they can get a job that supports their housing. These are all resources we bring to the program to serve more people and to create a system of services that addresses what people need to be successful. Every city-funded program we manage benefits from additional funding we pursue and secure and place into these programs. For example, through a federal matching grant, we've generated $680,000 that will be placed into EOP contracts next year to augment the city's investment. And that's just one example among the $7 million in resources I've mentioned earlier in this presentation. This is definitely not all to our credit. The success we've had in bringing in additional funding is in no small part due to the incredible expertise and work being done by our community-based partners. We're excited for you to hear from them shortly. This program and the people it serves benefit in many ways from a team and a system approach. In a moment, you're going to hear from some of the program participants who benefited from the array of partners and services that make this program so unique and effective. To keep my part simple, I'll just give a single example of our newest area of enhancement that we've made over the past half year, which is alignment with the public system of healthcare. We've run many, many programs that train people for middle-income occupations. One thing everyone in this field experiences is that low-income people with dependent children select themselves out because they can't pay for the cost of childcare while they're in training or getting a footing in a new job. This has the effect of increasing intergenerational poverty and disproportionately impacts single mother households, who in Multnomah County have twice the poverty rate as the overall population. To address this, Work Systems, the Oregon Department of Education, Oregon Department of Human Services have partnered to provide child care so that EOP participants with dependent children can pursue training for a middle-income career. For EOP program participants, child care is now paid while they participate in occupational training, job search, and starting a job for 12 months. $450,000 annually is available to support these costs, and a full-time child care coordinator staffed by Department of Human Services helps identify child care providers, troubleshoots coverage, and supports seamless access to our program's parents of young children. This new pilot, launched just a few months ago, is an illustration of the team approach we've built that's multiplying the city's investment, increasing the number of Portlanders served, and creating the supports necessary for people to be successful despite very significant challenge. My colleague, Victoria Liebob, is going to talk about the services and partners and results next. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners and mayors, and thank you for staying for our presentation. Appreciate that. So my boss, Stacy Triplett, was supposed to be doing this presentation and part of a presentation, and she's stuck in Denver in the blizzard condition, participated in a national conference. While I'm not happy for her going through that, I am happy to present on her behalf because I'm one of those people who were at the table representing IRCO, Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, with only $100,000 grant at 2007 at the inception of Economic Opportunity Initiative that was evolved, and Andrew present the history. So in a way, it's my lucky chance to talk about this program that I also continue to work with as Work Systems Senior Project Manager now, with all the community partners that are a part of this amazing network. So the Economic Opportunity Network is reached with a lot of community-based providers, organizations that use their knowledge and expertise to serve specific populations with one-on-one individualized career coaching and occupational training in the community. Of course, so much of the training is provided through a strong connection with WorkSource Portland Metro resources, which include training scholarships, paid work experiences, and placement support for career track jobs for this population. I briefly want to just cover the current data that shows who we serve. So the most vulnerable population includes homeless and housing insecure residents, about 26%. Justice-involved individuals, 38% of self-report involvement with the criminal justice system, 10% of immigrants and refugees and English language learners. 50% of people we serve currently are long-term unemployed, have been looking for work for 27 weeks or more, according to Bureau of Labor Statistics definition. And 57% hold a high school diploma, GED or less. We serve a very diverse group of people. 19% of African Americans, 13% Latina, native Hawaiian and API 6%, Native American almost 6%, white 55%, and a very diverse group of immigrants and refugees coming from all over the world to Portland. In keeping with priorities shared by PHB and Prosper Portland Work Systems, all participants that are served a low income defined as earning 50% of MFI or below. Basically, family of four would, the 50% MFI is $40,700. We have community partners that we contract with. They are from a Central City Concern, Human Solutions, Southeast Works, IRCO, Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, Oregon Tradeswomen, Constructing Hope, and the network is growing. Our newer and additional partners are Portland Opportunity Industrialization Center, El Programa Hispana Católica, Urban League, and Latina Network. In addition, there are a network of youth-serving organizations that work with young adults eligible to work at 16. Beyond those already mentioned, it's New Avenue for Youth, Portland Youth Builders, and NEA, Native American Youth and Family Center. So a little bit of data from the last year. Only last year, with the city-funded programs, we serve over 780 low-income participants. Almost 150 of them completed training for credentials recognized in their fields. 76% of those served left the program employed at wages averaging $14.06. And, you know, average is not always makes a true story. For example, during this years under the work systems contract, we served 400 chronically homeless people, and their average wage is $11.30, you know, average over the years, which sounds lower than minimum wage right now, but it's a great accomplishment for people who experience homelessness. With our additional economic opportunity program that is a program that serves professional immigrants and refugees, their average wage is $16.84. So based on population, level of education, the support they needed, average, you know, the true accomplishments are different. And as Patrick mentioned, $7 million that you heard about before is an additional resources that we bring from Department of Labor, Health and Human Services, and USDA matching grant that he already said about. I don't want to repeat. So the EOP is that, well, I just counted. I've been involved for 12 years. Is a growing program that brings the wonderful work of many organizations together. And it's less and less messy because we've been working together for a long, long time. And it's my pleasure to invite to talk Clay Cooper, who is the Senior Director of Social Enterprises and Employment Services from Central City Concern. Then Megan Bell, who is the Director of Employment and Training with POIC. While Human Solutions Executive Director wanted to be here, he couldn't make it, but their lead economic opportunity program, a career coach, is there to speak on his behalf. Thank you very, very much for
Thank
the opportunity.
You. Appreciate it so much. Thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. My name is Clay Cooper. I'm, as Victoria said, I am the Senior Director of Social Enterprises and Employment Services at Central City Concern. I oversee our street cleaners for City of Portland, Downtown Clean and Safe, and the Central Eastside Industrial District. I also oversee Central City Coffee and our Employment Services Program. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I also wanted to thank Commissioner Hardesty for coming to the Employment Access Center earlier this month She met with a few of our employees and heard about the work we were doing cleaning our streets and sidewalks. Central City Concern is a nonprofit nonprofit direct service organization that provides integrated primary and behavioral health care, supportive and affordable housing to people impacted by homelessness in the Tri-County area. Central City Concern operates about 2,000 units of affordable housing and serves 9,000 patients annually through the 13 federally qualified health centers. But I'm here today to talk to you about our employment services programs that worked with 1,200 people over the past 12 months, a majority of whom were homeless, and placed over 750 of them into employment at over 300 employers. Work Systems is one of our largest funders that enabled us to help these clients. But let me back up because I want you to know a bit more about our clients. During my time at Central City Concern, I've heard a common story where many of our clients grew up in a single-parent household and that parent was a drug addict. Our clients were then introduced to drugs at an early age and would develop their own addiction by their early teens. They were also subjected to physical and verbal abuse and would then understandably run away from home. As we help our clients with their addiction, we are also helping them develop confidence in what it means to be a good employee. We enable clients to pursue a career that is meaningful to them because the evidence shows that when someone is excited about their job, they are less likely to relapse. Therefore, we offer every client that lives in our housing the opportunity to receive one-on-one support from a career coach. In fact, most of our career coaches were initially clients that received support from Work Systems Employment Opportunity Program. So those career coaches have actually come to this work with lived experience in poverty, homelessness, and substance use disorders. So when they are out there talking to our clients about the possibility of starting a new chapter in their lives, they know better than any of us the power of that possibility. The EOP program helps us provide our clients with child care, rent assistance, scholarships, training funded through WorkSource, and access to retention services, to name a few. Getting a start on a career is the last step away from a lifelong struggle for our clients and the first step toward a new life. You all know that a good job is what can provide you with the opportunity to finally start a family, own a home, and dream of retirement. So thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for supporting this work.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I'm Meg Bell, and I'm the Director of Employment and Training at POIC. Thank you for having me speak today and allowing me to share some amazing success stories from our EOP programs. Portland Opportunities Industrialization Center, POIC, is committed to the success of youth through the age of 29, providing the highest quality services in education, mentoring, family outreach, employment training, and placement. POIC was founded in 1968 and has been active in the Portland community for over 50 years. Our history and roots as an organization are in adult and youth workforce development for the African-American community in North and Northeast Portland. We have had a workforce development program since the start of the organization and still offer culturally specific workforce development today. In January of 2017, POIC started EOP services. Being a part of the
what's EOP?
Economic Opportunities Program.
Thank you.
Being a part of the EOP network has offered our community and program tremendous benefits. We have been able to grow our programs and serve more participants in need with the 50-50 matching funds. Participants have a strong network of resources built in, including access to federal funds for programs like Health Careers Northwest, rental assistance, child care, internships, scholarships and grants to the WorkSource Portland Metro Centers. And on top of that, our staff are supported through monthly training opportunities and a strong network of other EOP providers. As an organization, our priority population is African-American young adults ages 18 to 29, perhaps the city's most vulnerable population in terms of outcomes, experiences of violence, poverty, and unemployment. Homelessness impacts this population at higher rates than others, and is often uncounted and unseen in many ways. This is why we are so grateful for the city's commitment to this program. A great example of a success from this program comes from a current participant. Ty is an African-American single mom with three young children. She connected with POIC and our program when she was behind in rent payments and at risk of homelessness. She was struggling to find childcare so that she could focus on her career path. When she enrolled in our program, She worked with her career coach to quickly identify a career plan that focused on her goals and led to her goal of being in a healthcare career. Through active participation and the integration of services in our EOP program, she was able to access rental support, and she did not lose her apartment. She re-enrolled in night classes in college and is now on track to become a licensed nurse. She received child care support through a child care grant designed to support participants in trainings, and she was able to obtain employment that was in a health-related field to pay her bills. The EOP program is the only workforce funding POIC has that also comes with rental assistance. In many of our programs, we see participants struggle with housing as their top concern, and that limits their ability to focus on long-term career goals. Providing housing support while a participant is completing a training and searching for employment is critical to that person's success. EOP funding and support from the City of Portland has allowed us to serve participants in ways we weren't able to previously. Because of this, we are thankful for your ongoing support. Thank you.
Okay, so my name is Megan Gerlach, and I am the lead career coach at Human Solutions. Human Solutions serves low-income people living in East Portland. And in addition to our employment programs, we also have housing programs and run affordable housing in East County. Human Solutions has been part of the Economic Opportunity Program since the beginning. And prior to that, we were part of the EOI, or the Employment Opportunity Initiative, through Portland Prosper. Human Solutions is extremely proud to be part of the Economic Opportunity Program, and we have two major roles within the program. First, we operate four EOP career coaching programs that are funded through the city and additional resources made available by Work Systems. We have our Portland EOP serving Portlanders in poverty who are at risk of homelessness. We also have a program serving homeless Portlanders that are on SNAP. We have a program serving people interested in pursuing healthcare careers. That's our Health Careers Northwest program. And a program serving people re-entering the community from incarceration. These programs are essential for the communities we serve. WSI has been instrumental in providing systems alignment that have brought additional resources as well as been able to leverage others. When we began EOP programming, only had our Portland EOP. We really feel that the programs that have been added have all either addressed a need that was identified by our providers. Our SNAP 50-50 program has given us additional capacity by providing a reinvestment of 50 cents for every dollar spent on the contract. We were able to add an additional full-time career coach with those dollars. Our DCJ program gave additional capacity to work with participants reentering the community from incarceration, and our Health Careers Northwest opportunity to support our participants getting into the healthcare field, one of the fastest growing industries in Portland. In addition, we serve as the system-wide rent assistance hub, providing rent assistance for participants from across the program who are homeless or being evicted. Through the service, we have about 100 with housing. We have about 100 people served through housing assistance from either being evicted or being placed into housing. And we have about, at the one-year checkup, there's about an 85% success rate that that person is still housed. This is just another example of WSI working with Home Forward, and a couple of years ago to bring additional rent assistance due to the need of the customers that we're serving. Sorry, I wasn't supposed to speak, so I'm reading off some notes.
You're doing fine.
In just a moment, you're actually going to hear from one of the participants that I work with. And I, just as a career coach, I can say that one of the best parts of my job is just being able to see people grow. And these programs really, really offer people that opportunity. I have been able to house several folks who wouldn't have been able to keep their jobs or attain additional training without being housed. It's extremely hard for people to move forward if just worrying about where they're going to sleep is their main concern. And and most recently the daycare, the daycare assistants. I have had now three people be able to finish training because of the daycare dollars that are provided. All of them were paying large copays, so we had daycare covered, but the copay was something that was going to become a barrier to them completing training and finding a higher wage employment. So the daycare dollars have really helped. Because of the work that Human Solutions does in general, we know that the issues of homelessness, housing, and employment are interrelated. And we want to thank you for your support for this program that's been a lifeline to the communities we serve. So thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for your continued support.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayors and Commissioners, for being here. My name is Alvin Klavan. I am representing Constructing Hope, who is one of the community partners that the former speakers were speaking about. Hold on, I have my notes. I wasn't supposed to be here today either. But I do have my notes.
Everybody else is in Denver in the snowstorm.
Pardon?
Everybody else is in Denver in the snowstorm.
Yeah, actually not this time.
Well,
I do have an interesting story about a fire, though. But
I do appreciate you all coming here and making sure that the presentation goes on, even though the designated speakers were not able to be here. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's kind of the way of the nonprofit, where we all just kind of fit in where we fit in when we need to, do we not? So my name is Alvin Klavan. I am the case manager at Constructing Hope. We are a pre-apprenticeship program. I'm also representing Pat Daniels, who is unfortunately had a fire impact her home, and therefore, why she's not here. So fires and snowstorms, oh my. For 15 years, the Constructing Hope mission has been rebuilding lives through skills training and education in the construction industry. We prioritize training for those with legal histories and those with low income positions. And we all know that that's policy code for our brothers and sisters of African, American, Latino, and Native descent more than often. Along with our key partners at Oregon Tradeswomen Incorporated, we facilitate career track employment for those that are most underrepresented among the union halls of Portland and Multnomah County. Today I'm here to discuss the community-based provider perspective and the critical impact the EOP program plays in the success of our outcomes at Constructing Hope. Quite simply, without EOP, for many of our pre-apprentices, they would not have hope. I work with our partners, many like Human Solutions and some of the others that are here, to help bridge the gap between adversity and opportunity, between despair and hope, and often the difference between housing and homelessness. I'll share quite briefly the story of Robert Thomas, one of our pre-apprentices, who is not here today to represent himself because he got called into work. So he was very much a success story of one of our individuals who went through our pre-apprenticeship program. But prior to him being accepted into the local 29 Iron Workers Union Hall, Robert came to us with a legal history, and we had to overcome some barriers there to get him qualified. He needed housing, and through the EOP program, we were actually able to get him housing. He needed childcare because as soon as he came out of incarceration, he soon inherited parentage of his child, not through the courts, but kind of like, here's your kid, you've been gone, he's yours now. And so without the EOP program, he simply would not have been able to get into the trade. He would not have had an opportunity to get the housing he needed and the childcare that he needed. So it's just a common theme. So even today, as I've been a case manager for Constructing Hope only for a couple of months, housing is the most critical need for individuals that are just trying to get out of a bad position and into work. So without EOP, I just don't know how we'd accomplish that, quite simply. So with that, I don't want to beat a dead horse with a stick. I think you guys get the point.
Good afternoon. My name is Danny Van Voris. I am a construction career coach at Portland Youth Builders. Thank you for having us. PYB has been around for over 20 years, but specifically, I'm not here to talk about our full year high school completion program. I'm here to talk about our 11-week construction specific for high school graduate program, which is funded through the EOP program. I'm lucky enough to get to work with the students who participate in this program. We run four cohorts a year for 18 to 26-year-olds who want to get into the trades. It's a very intense 11-week training that we have run out of our Portland Youth Builders campus in Southeast Portland for about 2.5 years now, and we're actually about a week away from finishing this most recent cohort that we've piloted in Hillsborough. And there's been a major demand for this type of program in Hillsborough, so much so we had to turn folks away, which was really unfortunate, but unfortunately, the funding does not exist for us currently to have a second trainer because we find it's really important that these individuals are getting very unique, specific one-on-one training as much as possible. So our students Tuesday through Thursday are on a construction work site, and then Friday they're in the classroom just as they would be as an apprentice. Over the 2.5 years, we've had a lot of success with this program. We've had students finish up our program and literally the next day or the next week join a union apprenticeship. We've had students join the laborers, the iron workers, the electricians, the carpenters, the roofers, the iron workers, cement masons, you name it. We've had students join these unions. In a minute, I'm going to have one of our great graduates, Matt, speak about his experience prior to PYB, while he was at PYB, and what he's been doing since as a scaffold erector. I could have students lined up out the door to come and speak about the success of this program, but as he mentioned earlier, they're working. They're out building our city. High schools have turned their backs on the trades. And it's programs that the EOP are being able to fund that are saving the city, that are allowing the city to boom like it is right now. It'd be booming more had our high schools not turned their backs on the trades. I get passionate about this stuff because I believe in it. We operate out of the neighborhood I grew up in. I work with kids that I was once. I've been at PYB for 10 years now, and these last 3 years, we put more students into union apprenticeship than ever, and we'll continue to do that as long as the funding is there to allow us to do the work that we do. Thank you for allowing this platform to hear about all the great stuff that we're doing, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you for the work you're doing. Thanks. We appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, the lady first. Go ahead. You can.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi.
My name is Brianna Garcia. I am here today to speak on my experience with the Southeast Works Worksource Center, specifically the Prisoner Reentry Employment Program, otherwise known as PREP. So upon being released from prison, it was extremely difficult finding employment. This was something that I ended up just settling for warehouse jobs in order to meet the demands of my supervision. I continued doing this, working 6 days a week, overtime every day, to be able to make ends meet until I was actually lost a job due to some complications during while I was pregnant. So at that time, the unemployment department referred me to the Worksource Center.
And they got me connected with the PREP. As with Cindy as my career coach. There I was able to learn how to create an effective resume. I learned how to write a cover letter. I learned how to interview, and I took a workshop on the scholarship application process. And through this workshop is actually how I learned about peer support. And when I learned about this, it was really that kind of defining moment where it really clicked for me that I could use my life experience in a way to support other people who were going through similar things as I had. So I applied for the scholarship, and I did get the scholarship to attend a peer wellness specialist training. And while I was going through this training, I was actually faced with the possibility of an eviction. Cindy referred me to the EOP Rental Assistance Program and was able to get me into that while I completed my training and actually get it extended so that I could complete my training to find employment. And I was also at this time issued gas cards so that I could make it to my training and to interviews. And one of those interviews actually landed me the job I have now as a peer wellness specialist. And working as a traditional healthcare worker has completely shifted my life around. The intense anxiety I used to feel about speaking on my past and my experiences is really no longer there. It has turned, I felt like was my greatest weakness, into actually my greatest strength. So thank you so much for giving me your time to speak today.
Thank you for taking the time to come and tell us your story.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hello, my name is Misha Kelly. I am a single 34-year-old mother to my one and only 5-year-old baby girl that just turned 6. I started off a couple years ago trying to get into the healthcare field here in Oregon, and I went through the whole being homeless, in and out of the shelters, staying on people's couches, just trying to get another chance at life. Basically, I went to Human Solutions, where they had the Healthcare Career Northwest program. They had a lottery that was going on. It wasn't a guarantee I would be selected, so I went through all the hoops of doing everything they wanted me to do and trying to get in, and I actually was denied, and I almost gave up. But I kept thinking, you know, just keep striving, keep going. Something has to give. Everything happens for a reason. So eventually, about a year to 2 years later, I came back to Human Solutions, actually just to sit in on a class, just to see, get some extra knowledge, stuff on my resume, and just more training, basically. And Megan, which is my career coach, she actually remembered me from doing the lottery before, and she was kind of shocked to see that I was still going through the struggle, but she kept telling me, just hang in there, things will get better. So she told me there's another grant that came open, and she thought I would qualify, so I should take a chance at it. I didn't think I would go through with it, just because I remember the failure that I felt of not getting the lottery before. But I went ahead and I took a chance at it. So I went through the process and everything, and she gave me the information about the EOP and told me, you know, what it has to offer. But I was still hitting roadblocks. I still couldn't afford my daughter to be in daycare and go to classes and still try to carry a job and still try to have gas in my car with the prices fluctuating. There were just so many things, even having a working phone to be on to get an interview for a job. But I just kept going and striving, and she was definitely very supportive, my career coach. And she just, you know, told me to explain what my goal was and where I wanted to be. So I went ahead and I sat down with her, and I asked her, you know, if you give me this ability and give me the opportunity, I would be a good investment. I would make sure that I was a hard worker, successful worker. Anytime she needed me to show up, anytime she needed me to speak on behalf of anything, that I would be there to do that. And that was a promise that I made to my baby girl as well. I feel like everything I do in this life affects her too. Even though she's little, whatever choices I make, whatever mistakes I make, it's still going to benefit her too, or it's going to harm her in one way or another. So I went ahead and I entered into the CNA program, which I actually have completed as of February of this year. I completed the CNA 1, and I am hoping to actually go into the CNA 2. With the help of the EOP program and also the child daycare with high copays, because again, I wasn't able to afford that before I came to Megan, and just having somebody in my corner. Not everyone has family to be there to support them like that. So just knowing there was someone, a career coach, that saw something in me, even if I didn't see it, it was like, you deserve a second chance and not to give up. So I feel like her striving and pushing me and just being there just to keep me going on that career path and not giving up on myself. I definitely appreciate that and the opportunity. And just being here today made me realize how much of an investment it really is and how much it really does benefit a lot of people in this town and city. So I'm definitely thankful for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you. So good afternoon, Mayor and Congressman. My name is Ala Al-Mawla. I am from Iraq, Baghdad. I am come here on state 2013, and I still keep going to get my goal, which is construction. I am a civil engineer. I work with a lot of company when they went to my country. And when I met, I still going, I'm not give up. I work with the warehouse, city center parking, but my goal is construction. So I keep going with the ERCO organization for refugee, and I get Mr. My coach, Mr. Surya, and he helped me to go with the program is said Economic Opportunity Program, EOP. So I get my goal with him, and I go with his get me on union apprenticeship to get my goal with the construction. And he helped me a lot also with the renting because I have to go training with the union, like 2 weeks. So he helped me through the human solutions. And I have also hard things with the insurance through the union. And I come back to ERCO, and Mr. Surya helped me a lot to set up everything insurance for me, my kids, and my wife. And he set up for me, like, all the uniform, boots, everything, tools to set up with the construction. Now, I'm happy because I work with the Portland building reconstruction with the Howard Esrite since 2018 April. So maybe I have like 1 year here, I'm happy. So my appreciation to you, if you can keep increase funding this program like this so that more people like me, they can go with the goal and get the construction job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for taking time off work and school for coming here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi. This is pretty crazy for me, like, talking to the commissioner and mayors. So I'm a little, like, woo, like. But I'm Matt. You heard Danny talk to. He's my career coach.
Ah, okay.
And, I'm going to go before PYB. Before PYB, I moved to Portland from San Diego. And, it was just the best option for me at the time in my life. And it's crazy that the best option for me was to move here and couch surf with my sisters and some friends I made along the way. So I was couch surfing. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I had no idea what I was going to do, nothing, no clue, until I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do something. I'm going to weld. So I was like, I'm just going to become a welder. I heard they made a lot of money. I went to Mount Hood. They charged me $950 per class, and I sold my car so that I can join that class. And then they charged me another $950 so that I could join the next class, which was like the next semester. And I couldn't afford that, so I just told myself, you know what, I need a job right now. And I looked up a construction job on Craigslist, and there it said PYB, and that's Portland Youth Builders. And I was like, oh, this looks like they're hiring. So I went into that, and I talked to somebody there, and they explained to me what it was. And I was like, oh, so it's an 11-week course, not an actual job. And then they were like, yep. And I was like, you know what? I'm motivated, and it's like the best option for me right now. So I get there, and the first guy I talked to, his name's Sean Parks. He was my constructor. He was my construction, what do we call him?
Trainer.
Construction trainer. He was my construction trainer, and he just explained to me everything. He was like, I don't know why you paid $950 for a welding class when in the union, the carpenters give you that class and get you certified for that for free. So you get that for free in the union. So I just saw it. I was like, wow, here it is. And my first day there was there was four other guys in my class, and they taught us how to read a measurement tape, the tape measurement, because I never thought I'd be a construction worker. I didn't know how to read a tape. They taught us from like the smallest things to like the biggest things, how to work, how to respect people, how to respect women, how to respect elders, how to respect others in the trades in the area. And it's crazy. I never thought I'd be able to retire one day, and I never thought that I'd be making the money I am making right now. And it was just crazy to me to even cross that through my mind, just because of where I came from and where I was going through. And I ended up graduating with the BOLI Tier 1 certificate, and that is one of the highest certificates to graduate PYB with. And I got a CPR class and a bunch of other certificates, and I joined the Carpenters Union, Local 1503, and I am doing scaffold erecting right now. And scaffold erecting was just an entry course, I mean an entry position, but I love it. I love being on heights. I've been working here at Portland Building. I've been working at the Hyatt. I've been working at the airport right next to the convention center. I've been at the Merwin Dam. I've been many places working scaffold, even residential up in these hills. And I just love my job. And I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but in the year I've been working there, I made $42,000. And that's my first year. And I never ever thought I'd be making that money. And it's only getting better because I'm motivated even more. I learned all my work ethics. I learned them from Portland Youth Builders, and they're the ones that taught me how to work. And I was just some motivated kid. I have a credit score now. It's 700, and yeah, but it's crazy. Like I never thought I'd be having a credit score. I never thought I'd be thinking of retirement. I'm even thinking about my future house now. Like that's what's going on in my head. I still have goals that Danny made us write down. He made us write down our 3-year goal, 5-year goal, and 10-year goal. And I still have those in the notebook, and I still believe that I can achieve those now with this job that I have, and it's all thanks to them. And I'm here to represent Portland Youth Builders and whoever funded them, and I just want to say thank you guys. And I'm not here to tell you my story for pity or for poor guy, he went through all this. I'm here because there's a lot more other dudes like me, women like me, that are motivated with just the right amount of motivation. And we're just here. We just need someone to, you know, give us a hand. And it's because of Portland Youth Builders why when I moved here, I fell in love with this city. And I just call it my home now. And I don't think about leaving because I have an amazing job and I'm surrounded by amazing people who care. And my career coach there, Danny, he cared about me. I even went with him with some personal stuff that I was going through. And I'm probably going over time right now talking, but I just want to thank you guys. Thank you. I don't know who, I never met those you guys, but I want to thank them too. And thank you, Amanda Fritz, Ted Wheeler, and Nick Fish. I just think it's crazy that I'm talking to you guys right now.
I think it's great that you're talking to us, and more importantly, you're talking to a lot of other people who are going to hear about this and who are watching it on TV. And I hope they listen to what you said, because what you said, the word inspirational gets overused too much, but you were goal-oriented, you're focused, you saw an opportunity, you took the opportunity, and man, you're on your way. Good salary, opportunity for advancement, better credit score than I have. You're doing great. You're doing great. I hope other people hear your story and that they're inspired to follow in your footsteps. Thank you for being here and sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming. This is your city hall, and you're a Portlander now. And so I really appreciate you sharing your story and taking the time to give back just by coming to tell the story, because sometimes people wonder, why do we fund programs like this and who benefits anyway? And all of you who've come to tell us, you know, you're giving the face to this is what taxpayers' money has invested. And the taxpayers of Portland have invested in you so that you now have a job that pays $42,000 a year, and you're paying your taxes, hopefully your arts tax as well.
Yeah,
and,
that's how I found out I had like $42,000 a year.
Very cool.
I did my own taxes for the first time this year too.
Isn't it great the first time you do taxes? You're like, yay, I'm making money.
It was nerve-wracking. I was like, what am I doing? But
well, thank you for being here.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. So my name is Veronica Rivera. I am the second cohort graduate for the EOP-POIC pre-apprentice program. So right now I'm currently awaiting my results from my aptitude tests. I chose to go through the Local 48 IBEW. It's a electrician's apprenticeship union. So prior to the program, I had been unemployed for about 2 years. Simply because I was tired of working hard for corporate industry without being compensated accordingly, and it was a really huge weight on my chest, wanting to contribute and go above and beyond and earn my wage, most importantly, only to be left feeling dispensable. So I first got connected to the NextGen program through my former high school, and NextGen gave me two options. One of them was to further my office administrative skills, and the other was to join the pre-apprentice program through POIC. So I chose to pursue and complete the 12 weeks of introduction to the trade back in October. This brought me hope again back into my life. That hard work could pay off. So the field I chose had a bit of a wait time. They didn't open up till January, so I had quite some time there. So I ended up getting reconnected through the NextGen program through my career coach, who they got me to become the teacher assistant for the current cohort of the POIC program while my application finishes getting processed. So I'd just like to thank all of the funders for allowing this program to become available, because it has not only been a great incentive for me to stay drug-free in order to achieve my career goals, but has also been a blessing in getting my vision back and aligned with my goals, and has been very empowering for myself as an able-bodied woman.
What was your former high school?
The NAYA. So Native American Youth Association.
Wonderful. And how nice that you've obviously felt at home there and went back, and they helped you even after graduation.
It seems that we are all here connected. It's amazing to me. I've gone through IRCO, NAYA, and now POIC. So it's really great to continue to be in the loop and continue to be supported by everybody.
Yeah, and I want to say to everybody here who's in the trades, we have lots of good jobs at the city, in the Water Bureau, in the Environmental Services, in various other, and for electricians as well. So keep us in mind.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's it, yeah. Thank you very much.
So, it's now, you want us to adopt the report?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
So, here's
where.
Do that with the mayor. Mayor, I move the adoption of the report.
Accept, right?
I move to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish to accept the report, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, thank you all for your patience in helping us get a really good ending to the day. I appreciate the information and the collaboration between the various partners, and I look forward to continuing discussions on how we can continue to support workforce development in Portland. Aye.
Fish.
Well, Mayor and Commissioner Fritz, we started today at 9:30, and it's been one of the longer days that we've had as a council. I think we saved the best for the last, and I want to thank everybody that took time out of their busy schedules to be here. I agree with Commissioner Fritz and the mayor that we sometimes overuse the word inspirational, but these were very inspirational stories about people overcoming challenges in their lives and moving ahead. Nothing is more important in a community than supporting each other and helping people achieve the best that they can be. That is really the essence of what community is about. And government has a role, the private sector has a role, the nonprofit world has a role, the faith community has a role, the philanthropic community has a role. But really, what could be more important than helping someone achieve a dream? and reach their full potential, become self-sufficient. Today's stories were very inspiring, and I'm honored that I was here to hear them. And I'm pleased that the city continues to invest in the Economic Opportunities Program that gives people a chance to achieve their very best. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, just what I said earlier, I'm glad the public had the opportunity to hear from these fine individuals, hear their stories, hear about the great opportunities that exist in this community. If you're out there watching and you're sitting there and you're wondering what the future holds for you and how to walk through that door, any of the